Hey friends, welcome back to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use, where we take real life, real scripture, and try to actually make it helpful. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa. And today we're talking about Thanksgiving, which seems appropriate, but we're not talking about the holiday. We're talking about the kind of Thanksgiving that actually opens our eyes to what God is doing and how he's at work.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving is not just a day where we eat too much and pretend the Lions might win a football game. It's something far deeper than that.
I never think about the Lions on Thanksgiving.
You should.
Okay. We're actually going to use one of the most overlooked stories that Jesus ever told. Although I think that we hear it a lot in Sunday school. It's a story that is often used to talk about Thanksgiving, but we're going to talk about it in a very different way.
So let's dive in. Let's get going on this thing.
Yeah, we've all got Thanksgiving tradition. Like, what is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition?
Football at halftime of the Lions game.
Really?
We do it every year. It doesn't matter how cold. I was so cold last year. We were down under my in-laws. I guess it's not my wife's in-laws. It's their mom and dad. So, but we were so cold and the wind was whistling and we still did it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like sweet potatoes. That's... I like to cook. I like
the marshmallowy things on top.
Yeah, a lot of brown sugar mostly. But yeah. I think for me, the tradition is the cooking. I love to do it. I love to.
It does kind of smell nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cozy, you know.
Yeah. I think when things become tradition and really familiar, and I think you just said, hey, this is a story that's probably familiar to maybe many of our mm-hmm. listeners, the story of the 10 lepers. I think it becomes something that we stop seeing the real beauty in it. And this story is actually fairly deep in a kind of a surprising way.
Well, yeah. And I think often we stop seeing when I like that idea that when things become familiar, we stop seeing the beauty that might right be in front of us. And that's really the story of the 10 lepers, which is what we're going to talk about today. It's the story that we hear of 10 lepers being healed by Jesus and what they do with that healing.
Yeah, and first part of this story is you have to understand the world and it like the world and where this is being set, the setting of it. Leprosy wasn't just a disease, it was really a social death sentence.
Well, yeah, you weren't just sick. Like, as soon as there was any hint of leprosy, you were sent outside of the camp, like completely out of the community, into the caves in the desert. You were exiled from your home, from your synagogue, from your community. Your whole identity was gone. In an instant, you get one leprous sore and you are out.
Yeah, job, society, mm-hmm. kind of name. Because, like, you don't say, you know, hey, I'm Levi. You say, unclean, unclean. So everyone isn't surprised by this and they're not catching it.
Well, yeah. And what's so remarkable about this story is that Jesus actually goes right to the borderland where the lepers are, the unclean people are. He's not with the healthy, he says, right? He's not come to help, you know, to heal the people who don't need a doctor. And so he goes to the place where the respectable people avoided, and that's where the lepers find him.
Yeah, I love that about him. Jesus always moves toward people. Everyone else kind of moves away from these people, and he moves right toward them.
Yeah. So imagine these guys. They are 10 men whose lives have completely been upended by one diagnosis, and they're standing at a distance, and they're saying, Jesus, have pity on us. Unclean, right? They're alternating between the description of themselves and their desire for Jesus to heal them.
And Jesus tells them, hey, go to the priest, is what the story says. and you'll be healed. And so before they're ever healed, he has this act of obedience that they have to do.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's really interesting. They have no, like, okay, we'll go to the priest. Like, what is it? They've probably been there before going, like, pray over me or whatever. Yeah. But Jesus heals them completely and really miraculously.
Well, yeah, and it is... Can you imagine that? They get their whole lives back. In a moment, they get everything back, their identity, their community, everything. But then what's really surprising is that all 10 of these guys are healed, but only one comes back to thank Jesus for the healing.
And Jesus, in Luke, the story is in chapter 17, it says that he's been healed, like the one who comes back, but he uses this word that is different because all of them were healed, right? Like all of them were healed in the sense that
physically.
They're physically healed. But he uses this Greek word when he talks to the one, and it means to perceive, to grasp the significance, to truly recognize what happened. Only one of them understood what actually happened.
Yeah, everybody experienced the miracle.
Yep.
Only one understood it.
And I think that's the difference between receiving God's gifts and recognizing God as the giver. Only one recognized God as the giver.
Wow. And do you think that ratio like holds up even now?
I think so. We receive, you know, provision, but we don't always recognize the provider. We receive protection. Like you drove here from your house, and I've seen you drive before. God's protection was on you.
Was that necessary, man?
I think it might have been. Maybe we should stop and just thank the Lord for that.
Yeah, let's do that right now.
we receive answered prayers, but we treat them like coincidences.
Yeah, and so gratitude begins with awareness, the ability to see what has been done, not necessarily the abundance of the thing that has been done.
Yeah, and Luke says the Samaritan turned back. Such a simple phrase, but spiritually it's everything.
Oh, I love that. I love that word. It's like, it's also the word, is it the same word that's used for like repentance?
Yeah.
Like a reorienting, a complete turnaround. That's so cool. So gratitude in this story is a turning around. That's cool.
Yeah, reorienting, a redirecting. But he's redirecting not toward being healed. He's redirecting toward the heart, his heart toward Jesus to thank him. I think the other nine are really spiritually blind. Hmm. They accept the healing and they run to their houses, to their jobs, to their synagogues, wherever they're going to run to reconnect. But they're really spiritually blind. And I don't think most of us wake up one day and say, today I shall be spiritually blind.
Yeah, it's not like on our checklist for the day. No,
I think it's kind of a drift, right?
Yeah, it's a drift that where we tell ourselves, oh, I handled that situation really well, instead of God strengthen me here. Or I'm so glad I got through that season, instead of God actually carried me there.
Yeah, gratitude in this story and in our lives, true gratitude pulls our eyes off ourselves and back into Jesus.
Well, yeah, and Augustine called this very thing ordor amoris, which is the ordering of love. It loves, and gratitude resets what you love most.
Yeah, because if we're just looking at the blessing and we go, oh, that was a blessing, I'm blessed, as the Kardashians often say.
Oh, gosh.
Well, what are they saying?
They say that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I know that, but I'm not scared to
share
why.
Shall we deep dive into that?
No, we're not going to.
Okay.
I think, like, if we just look at the blessing and we go, oh, we're actually really self-centered, like almost like I deserve this. And I got this. And like, look at God did this for me. And I think that's actually the issue of the other nine. Because think about who they are. This one is the Samaritan. The other nine are Jewish. And so they are like, well, we're the people of God. Of course God healed us. And so it's very self-centered receiving of the blessing instead of this guy who goes, in that culture, to be a Samaritan was to be half Jew and half something else. And he didn't view himself as a chosen person. And so this was an incredible grace to him. And he knew the giver, not just the blessing.
Yeah, that's really good. He wasn't just, as if it was just a thing. He wasn't just a leper, right? He was an outsider in many categories, right? Relationally, socially, ethnically. He was wrong outside in all of the categories. And so he understood this incredible grace in a different way.
Yeah, and I think that's what gratitude... I think the deep truth here is when gratitude meets humility, it really grows our understanding of the grace of God through the soil of humility.
Yeah, and when you know that you don't deserve anything, you can see everything as grace.
Yeah, and humility leads us not to the blessing. It leads us to the blesser, which is Jesus.
Yeah, so let's bring this home. What does humility look like here in real life? Because we can say these things, but what does it look like to be the one that returns to be thankful?
I think it's really the humility is knowing that we can't just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, right? It's like, you know, Lord, I'm in over my head with these kids. Jesus, I can't carry this grief. Maybe there's somebody you've lost, and I just can't carry this grief. Would you just carry it for me? You know what? My marriage is going down. God, I can't fix this alone. Would you just be with me in this? I think this one's probably the hardest of the ones. When we are successful, recognizing that it wasn't just our doing, but God opened doors, there was opportunities, there were skill sets that God are God-given. Even our spiritual lives, our performance, they still need grace.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about our conversation last week in hospitality and how in each of these categories, we need the grace of Jesus, but many of them require other people as well. So humility isn't weakness, it's honesty. And the honest people are the ones that end up returning to Jesus.
And what Jesus says to this Samaritan is, your faith has made you well. But all 10 were healed. So what do you think gives there?
I have no idea. I think that's an interesting way to say it, because everybody got the physical healing. Is the word different there? Is the healed a different word?
It is. The word that he uses there, it means salvation, restoration, wholeness. Everyone was physically healed, but he was the only one who was restored to wholeness, to salvation.
Wow. So 9 men received changed circumstances, but only one received a changed life.
Yeah. Gratitude didn't earn his salvation. It revealed a heart open to receive it. And I think that's the difference, is when we understand the mercies of God, we understand the grace of God, it opens our heart to the gospel in a way that we can receive it.
So the story actually ends with a really haunting question from Jesus. He says, where are the other 9? That's quite a question.
I don't think it's a guilt trip, though. I don't think it's a lecture, but it's an invitation.
An invitation for the remaining 9 to return?
To return, to notice, to see, to be actually truly healed in deeper ways.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving here isn't a holiday. It's actually the way back to Jesus.
And I think the question that we ask at Thanksgiving, and maybe you counted your many blessings at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever do the little craft with the leaves?
No.
Okay. Why the harsh judgment, man?
Just no.
I'd take you on a ride.
Yeah, just no. Okay. But maybe you sat around and said, hey, this is what I'm thankful for this year. But Jesus really invites us to go, Am I just thankful for the blessing, or am I thankful for the one who gave me the blessing? He invites us to his table. He invites us to the reality of who he is. He invites us to the ultimate healing, which is found in him.
Yeah, so do you have, like, what are some strategies or things that we can take away? As we think about Thanksgiving and moving into this holiday that is called gratitude, like what are some things we can think about?
I think just taking enough time to go, God, what did you do today? That I missed? Can you just help me remember your goodness? It's telling someone God has been good, and here's why. It's speaking the words of it. You know, the Samaritan guy in the story runs back to Jesus and he falls at his feet and he worships. And I think when we say, this is how God has been good, this is what he's done, it is a way for us to run back to the giver and fall at his feet and know of the grace of God in such a way that we can speak it in a way that honors who God is. And when something good happens, we run to the giver, not just look at the blessing.
Yeah, so Frank, the Thanksgiving isn't about the table and the turkey. It's actually about seeing the giver behind every gift.
May you be the one who returns. May your eyes be open. May gratitude lead you to Jesus again and again and again.
Well, thanks for listening to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. We'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.